Let's get her going. Welcome back to the show, everybody. If you're just joining us, welcome to it. Where have you been for the last 3 hours and 16 minutes? It is 9:16 on this Friday. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you until 10 o'clock. That's when Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, and Kenny Walls will take over In the Box. Lee A.J. and Maddie Vowles are on the drive this afternoon. Don't forget, we've got She's Got Game tonight. Michaela Schreider and Vanessa Sanchez will take you through the hour of women's sports between 6 and 7. And then we've got some Stanley Cup playoff action for you. Game 2, Rangers-Carolina. Pre-game at 7:30, and it's a 8 o'clock face-off game 2 with the Canes up 1-0. We'll have game 3 of the Florida-Tampa series for you on Sunday afternoon. They're not playing. Every other series plays every other night except for this one tomorrow night, because the arena in Tampa is booked tomorrow night with a concert. So the game will be played on Sunday afternoon at 1:30. And they'll actually go kind of back-to-back, as Game 4 will go Monday night in that series. By the time we get back here, Simmer, any chance you think that on Tuesday morning that series is over, Florida-Tampa?
Oh, I think it's a possibility. Gosh, you win both games on the road, playing the tight hockey, and
Anybody here pick Tampa, by the
yeah,
way?
Yeah, no, you sure did, yeah. And I didn't feel that. I thought they'd run over them, but that's not the case. And I look at Barkov, and this is never, JR, about not showing, because this guy's a great pro. I do sense a lot of frustration, though, and probably a big part of that, and where he, you know, was pointed out with Matthews starting games, power play, getting touches. With the power play not working, I think that's taken him a bit sideways on his regular, even strength game as well.
Okay.
I feel like he, you know, thinking a little too much, maybe a little Claude Giroux, kind of loosen him up a little bit, because I think he's really, really frustrated right now.
They got to get the pee-pee going. If they're going to any chance. Yeah, 0-25 in the playoffs is Florida on the power play. They had the third best power play in the regular season. Like, it's one thing when Dave Poulin talks about the monster Tampa defense. Yeah. They're not allowing in five-on-five play the guys to get to the front of the net to try to get in front of Vasilevsky. I get that. Mm-hmm. But on the power play, you got one more man than the other team. And their inability to score with the amount of talent they can put on the ice, it's surprising to me.
And I would say, JR, that, okay, if I'm taking shots, and the other night Chernik had the one, if the D are blocking shots, it's one thing. If the forwards are blocking shots, you got a problem. That should not happen to good teams. As you said, you should make adjustments. And one of the things in watching Giroux in the slot he's on, doesn't shoot the puck very well. Like, he's not a threat from that spot. Where he is a threat from when he was in Philadelphia, set up in the slot area. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to. And I credit Stamkos, but that shouldn't happen. A forward should not be blocking shots when you are in a two-on-one situation all the time on a power play.
Are you guys with me? I suggested earlier this week that, I keep wanting to call him George Burnett. Back to the junior hockey.
Just go Bruno.
Yes, Andrew Burnett, the Florida interim coach.
Yeah.
The gif of the guy from Ottawa who's lost in the train station, guy
which
looking around.
Which I tweeted out earlier in the week when you first
obviously,
brought it up.
Obviously, facially, they don't look the same, but just in terms of the, what's going on here, kind of looking around.
Looking lost.
Are you with me a little bit on that?
It's so weird, and I'm sure some people feel the same way about me, JR, but I had Bruno as a 20-year-old. He was a real heavy kid. He had no confidence, really shy. And I always kind of resonate bad. Now, incredible sense of humor, incredibly sarcastic. But, hey, for a guy you're going against, and I use that term for Butchie and for Trotsky, but, hey, John Cooper is right now, you put him right there too, right? So, tactically, I think you start overthinking things and how you're going to do it. And for Andrew Brunet, hey, he could be coach of the year. But let's remember, he inherited a team that was already farting on all cylinders, right? And I'm not saying he didn't do good work, but it's not like you took the team.
They were farting on all cylinders?
No, I said firing.
Firing, okay.
Yeah, no, but they were, right?
Because like, it
were,
feels like they're farting on
no,
all
but
cylinders.
They're having a bit of a... What is when your muffler does a little backfire?
Yes.
You got a little backfire action going. Yep. You're in a spot and you're trying to figure out, what the heck to do. And that's a little different than having Joel Quenneville behind the bench right now.
Okay, so game 3 in that series will go Sunday afternoon at 1:30. A little afternoon hockey for you in the middle of your long weekend. We want to congratulate Dennis Shanley. Dennis was the name that Hammer chose from among the many correct answers to our question of what does IMAX stand for? What does IMAX stand for? And Hammer, full credit.
I had no clue.
You came up with the question, for the tickets and treats to Landmark Cinemas.
Somebody actually knew that? Wow.
Many people knew it. Now, they may have looked it up, or maybe you knew that, and you knew it because you knew it. I must admit, I had never even
thought about it to actually
well,
have
got to stand for something.
Desire to actually look it up. But
well, you asked me, so X stands for something?
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought it was I was for something, the M, the A, and then the X. And I thought there aren't many words that start with X.
Nope. Or maybe the I stands for something, then it's just max.
It is.
You're on the right path.
The correct answer is image maximum is what IMAX stand for. I had no idea.
Okay. See, me either.
Miss a little. You miss a lot of the show. You learn something here. Dennis was among the many correct answers. Dennis, we've drawn your name. You and a guest will enjoy a night at the movies at Landmark Cinemas on us. Congratulations. Tickets and treats, most importantly, because the treats can run you a couple of shekels, if you know
good
what I mean.
Good popcorn at Landmark, too.
Yep. All right, so Dennis, enjoy a night of the movies on us. Congratulations to you. By the way, I'll give full marks to Frank, who texted in, had the best original answer when he wrote, larger screen than normal. That's what he thought IMAX did for.
Yeah, that's
it's a little more than that.
So well done on that one. We still got one more winning for you before 10, a pair of club seats to see the Ottawa Titans play their first home baseball game. The brand-new Frontier League team, which is in Florence, Kentucky, taking on the Yalls this weekend, is back home for their home opener coming up on Tuesday night at 6:30. Don't forget, we'll be broadcasting live with The Drive. It'll be AJ and Creature on Tuesday afternoon, getting you set for the game. And then the boys are going to throw out the first pitch. So if you're going to go to the game, make sure you're there early enough to heckle. 6:23 is the specific time in which they'll be on the mound.
No, we want video. No pictures. Video.
Yeah, we want moving video.
Yeah.
We want to see. And Ben.
We need ball pants.
Ben and Ashton. Has texted in and said, good morning, gents. I didn't get to message yesterday because I was driving, but wanted to weigh in on the Titans' first pitch. I played dodgeball against Creech, so I'm taking AJ all day.
What?
That's from Ben and Ashton. So there we go. Gauntlet thrown down is all I'm going to say. Ben weighing in that he likes AJ to have the better first pitch if we're having dueling first pitches on
so
Tuesday.
So he's saying Creech throws a limp ball or something like that?
That's what I'm taking
not
from
a lot
him.
Of heat on that?
And as the boss chair, you should set the rules. Right? We want them from the mound. We don't
60
need
feet, 6 inches.
That's none not of it, usually where you throw from.
But this is unusual in what that's happening. So want them from the mound.
That no way one bouncers.
That way we can have comparables.
No 50 cents. Yeah. No hitting a cameraman in the groin.
I'd like to see that.
No Carly Rae Jepsen.
Flip the coin. Into the you got to flip the coin as who goes first as well.
Yeah.
I think that's a real key to
and
the whole
so
thing.
So we want the crowd that's going to be there. We want everybody in full heckle, only if they're bad.
Yeah.
Okay? If they're good, then we want the standing O.
Yeah.
But if they're bad, we want you to let them hear it. Because, listen, we can't sit here on the radio machine and be very critical of whatever and whomever for various mistakes that are made and not be prepared to take it on ourselves as well. Now, I'm not putting myself in that position. I'm putting others in the position to be heckled.
Yeah.
Don't get me
yeah.
wrong here. This yeah. doesn't apply to me.
No.
But it does apply to AJ and Creature. So they'll be there on Tuesday night. So looking for hopefully a nice night and a big crowd as Ottawa Titans will make their home debut coming up Tuesday night at 6:30. Okay. Bring you right up to date. The PGA Championship. We haven't talked about that yet, Simmer. Day two is underway down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was interesting, depending on the time you played yesterday, was a big advantage. If you played in the morning, was much better scoring conditions than in the afternoon because Justin Thomas was the only guy who played in the afternoon who was anywhere close on the leaderboard. Now, the wind did pick up in the afternoon, but the scoring average was a full stroke lower for those that played in the morning than those that played in the afternoon. So, of course, as you know, in round two, they flip it around. If you played in the afternoon in round one, you play in the morning in round two, and vice versa. Yeah. So Justin Thomas is already on the course. He's already birdied his first hole today. So he's at 4 under. He's one back of Rory McIlroy, who looked – I mean, his swing is already pretty much picture perfect. When he pulls out the driver, though, and he's pounding it, he hit one yesterday that was 369 and split the fairway.
Yeah.
Like, he is hitting the – and it's interesting because he's playing with Tiger – and Tiger's got a different strategy, right? He's trying to play the stinger, right? The low stinger, which is great if you can keep it in play. But he couldn't keep it. The whole idea is you keep it in play.
He
wasn't keeping it on the fairway. And in some cases, he's 100 yards behind Rory McIlroy off the tee. So Tiger had a bunch of problems yesterday. Ended up at 4 over. Here he was post round one. On first round frustrations.
Well, I did not hit a lot. I did not hit a lot of good iron shots. I drove it well, but my iron shots were not very good. I didn't get the ball very close. I got off to a great start and didn't keep it going, and I really didn't give myself any looks for birdie. You know, I was struggling trying to get the ball on the green, and I missed quite a few iron shots both ways. So it was a frustrating day.
So he is going to need to play much better this afternoon. Tiger, Rory, Jordan Spieth will play together again. 2:30 is their tee time, and if we project same scoring today as yesterday. The cut line is top 70 in ties. So based on the scoring of yesterday, that's two over. So double it for today. So cut line will be somewhere around four over. So Tiger is going to have to play at least even par, if not be under par today, to have a shot at playing on the weekend.
Yeah, and for Rory and maybe playing behind Tiger in the group, he looks super comfortable. Now let's see the day two. And as you pointed out, and looking at those greens yesterday and the way El Hamo mentioned their cut with all the different bunkers around, the approach shots in the afternoon, everything had dried out, virtually impossible to land some of it. And just really curious to see not only how Rory follows up, JR, but from Tiger's standpoint, I appreciate that he's continuing to play, but the pain that he looks in, and then what happens when you have an injury like that? All of a sudden your hip's bothering you, your back's bothering you. Be very curious to see how long he can sustain this. And he loves it, and he loves to play. But to try to come out and play world-class golf for 4 days in a row when you may be minimized on how much you can practice and everything else, I just wonder how sustainable that is for him.
Are you, like, if you are at all interested, and it's a major, right? So the interest level. Now, I understand the PGA of the four majors is the most anonymous of the four for most, even for golf fans, right? But it still is a major.
Yeah.
If Tiger doesn't make it this weekend to play on the weekend, like does your interest level, does it drop substantially, or it's really not on your radar screen anyway?
No, it's interesting, JR, is that I don't have any expectations for him. Rory would be somebody that would make me tune in, and not in good or bad, because I like him, but I kind of wonder whether he'll handle the pressure. So that helps me enough, but I don't really, you know, I guess when Tiger finally won the last Masters and then he had the accident, JR, I don't feel like it's realistic he's going to win. And I know it's Tiger, but I'm watching him in pain. So I'll say, based on the way the weekend's setting up, I right now, as of Friday, probably have as much interest as I've had in a PGA Championship in a long time. And I think timing-wise, long weekend, not a ton on the schedule. So I'm kind of dialed in. And then like I said, McIlroy to me is a pretty darn good draw after Tiger.
Adam Hadwin is the only Canadian that's playing this morning, and he was the best of the three Canadians yesterday. He's played his first two holes today. He remains at three over, so he's, you know, again, he's got to hold steady here to make the weekend. It was, of the three of them, Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes, Corey first, Mackenzie second, and then Hadwin third, probably would have been, you know, your betting favorites to either make the weekend and then play well. Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes, neither of them made one birdie yesterday. Corey Connors is six over, and Mackenzie Hughes was seven over. So it's a tough course. There's no doubt about that. But, man, that's Corey Connors in particular, because he is what he is. He's a very good iron player.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kevin talked about it, and many others have talked about the key to this golf course is being able to hit it into the middle of the green, because if you're off to the sides, everything's kind of mounded and everything falls away, and then you're into your short game, and putting is always important. But, you know, Corey Connors hitting greens, that's his forte. So obviously he was not able to do that yesterday. So he and Mackenzie is going to be tough for them to make the cut.
Yeah, and Kev must have had a feel, because he kind of just said, no, you know what, not feeling with any of the Canadians. And he did come back on Corey Connor. But hey, like a lot of things, with people that track this, don't look at the game necessarily. They look at where the players have been recently, how they've been playing. And you're right. You would think this course is set up perfectly for him.
All right. So we'll keep our eye on it throughout the day today. Again, today's cut down day. They'll be playing all day today. Television coverage has already begun on TSN. You can watch it all day today. And of course, all weekend long, fourth and final round will go on Sunday, the PGA Championship. Okay. 9:30. We'll take a break. When we come back, we got everything. We have a smorgasbord of sports to go through in the final half hour of the show. We'll get you set for what will be a busy weekend, whether you're into the hockey or the golf or the F1 or the tennis or soccer or whatever. It's a great time of year to be a sport. Baseball, great time of year to be a sports fan. We'll have all of that coming up. We'll set you up for a long weekend smorgasbord of sports when we return Keep the wrenches coming as well on this Wrench Throwing Friday. We'll toss a few of those before 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, everybody. 9:40 on this Friday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. Yes, we will have the Canada's next game at the World Hockey Championship tomorrow morning for you. Faces off at 9:20, and that will immediately follow a special time for Kevin Hames to tee it up. They'll be right up to date on the PGA Championship. Should remind you, tomorrow's show, typically Kevin's show is on 8 to 10 on Saturday mornings. Tomorrow, they're starting at 7:30. Because they'll be going through till the start of the hockey game at 9:20. So tune in tomorrow morning, 7:30, for Tee It Up here on TSN 1200. Okay, we want to give away our Titans tickets right now, our last pair of club seats to see the Titans in their first baseball game at Ottawa Stadium on Tuesday night. Hammer came up with this question. So, Evan, if you're involved in minor baseball at all in Ottawa, you may be familiar with the name Evan Grills. Is he still with the Ottawa Nepean
he is.
ONC?
Just
Ottawa.
Watched him run a practice my kids on Tuesday.
Okay. Evan was drafted into Major League Baseball. Which team drafted Evan Grills in the majors? All right. Text us the correct answer at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. In the next 5 minutes, we'll draw one name from amongst all the correct answers. That person wins a pair of club seats to see the Ottawa Titans in their home opener coming up Tuesday night at Ottawa Stadium. Some wrenches on this Wrench Throwing Friday. I want to throw a wrench at whoever is responsible for not allowing us to play fantasy football on these apps in Ontario. Kind of goes on that. Okay. It kind of goes on from there because I'm not sure what they're referring to, but there we go.
La plus grande franchise dans la histoire du hockey.
Are people playing fantasy football in May?
Well, I bit it off on that one.
What football?
I don't know. Like, is he talking soccer then?
Yeah.
Or are we talking?
No, I believe we're talking fantasy. Maybe they've already made a ruling that they're not going to. Like, that's part of the gambling law that they're not allowed to. I'm not sure of the reference. I'm just reading the wrench.
Okay.
That's all.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Chris writes, a wrench to Leaf Nation. Suck it, Blue fans. I hope it still hurts. Whoa, that comes from Chris.
This is part of learning. It sucks.
Again. Wrench to everyone talking up the long weekend on behalf of all of us in restaurants who have to work all weekend. That's from Chris the cook.
The old lungs are barking at me up here in the Alty.
You know what? I hear you, Chris. I hear you. We sometimes do celebrate a bit too much the long weekend, not realizing that a lot of people do have to work.
Well, and also I think now for lots of reasons, JR, not to mention cost of going places, hopefully locally, be lots of support, some decent weather, and people get out and support the restaurants and the patios.
Wrench to the NHL schedule for a Flames game starting at 10:30. That's from Two Pint Tommy.
I want to thank Commissioner Gary Batman.
How come we haven't heard Gary Batman before?
Yeah.
Did you forget?
I was waiting for a hockey, some sort of hockey one.
And two, since the game is facing off at 10:30, and I'm taking, I'm thinking that Two Pint Tommy is perhaps a Flames fan, or he's got some money on the Flames.
Yeah.
That Tommy may be Four Pint Tommy by the time this game faces off at 10:30.
When you're Two Pint Tommy, I know it rhymes, but that really tells me you're half in the bag at two pints. So I'm a little concerned there at four.
Depends, Simmer. If we're talking some 8% stuff, you can be half in the bag at
two pints. But that Two Pint Tommy doesn't sound like a strong drinker. 2-4 Tommy, then okay, we got something to talk about.
This text comes in. I think it's refreshing seeing Brady Tkachuk in action. It's almost like watching Ovi after he won the cup. All good fun. Where I draw the line is the narrative where this is going to teach Brady about the playoffs, and this is going to be a big incentive. This kid is from a hockey family. He already knows all that. This stuff is him being a fan. It's not important for his career, i.e., I didn't see Cale Makar doing this stuff, and he's getting it done in the playoffs just fine. Doubt the other kids are glued to their TVs either, and they'll be fine. You just have to go through it yourself. That comes from Unsigned.
Yeah, Unsigned, I'm not going to disagree. Now, from a perspective of Brady growing up, and he would have saw his dad, although that's a while ago, I don't think it hurts to be around the boys and kind of see it firsthand, but I do agree with you. Now, what would be different, and for anybody saying who's making an issue of this, JR, anybody that has played the sport, knows the sport, or is in Ottawa couldn't care less. And some people can't get their head around. If the Ottawa Senators are in the playoffs and they lose out and Brady Tkachuk is out cheering for his brother, I'm not going to be as big a fan of that. This is my own personal choice. But for where everything is at right now, where life is at and everything that's happening, like I say, I just think it's absolutely awesome. And he's one of the few guys that can kind of mix old. He's a bit old school.
Mm-hmm.
He can have some fun. And at the same time, when it comes time to work, there's never any issue with that. And come playoff time, when he does reach there at some point with the Ottawa Senators, you know he's going to be a hell of a playoff player.
Keith was asked about, because there has been, I don't want to say there's been criticism of Brady Tkachuk. There's just some people that have questioned it, right?
They don't understand it. Like, they can't fathom that right. The idea that he's there doing that. And yeah. And that, if you want to leave it at that, you don't understand it, okay. But bringing anything else is really, you just can't feel that at all.
You know what I think the difference is, and I don't want to say that people haven't realized this. The difference for me is that we see lots of, and not just in hockey, in all sports, where a brother or a sister or a father or mother or whatever played the sport, whatever it might be. We often see them in suites, right?
Yeah.
Where the whole family is gathered in a suite and they're cheering on the son or whomever who's playing.
I think the Manning brothers are a great example.
So what's different about this one is that Brady Tkachuk is in the middle of the stands, right? He's in the middle of all of the fans, and he's high-fiving fans, and he's just having a hoot, right? And he's freaking drinking beers like nobody's business or whatever. Like, he's a true fan.
Yeah.
I don't know if people would feel completely different if the family just rented a suite, right? And because there's a whole bunch of them there. There's at least, it looks like, 10 of them at every game, all sitting in a row.
That's a great point,
The fact that, I like the fact that Keith Tkachuk, man, and everybody's, as they're going up the aisle, they're taking selfies with him or whatever. Like, he obviously wants to be there. It's very easy. They certainly have the means, if they wanted to rent a box where you can kind of, close yourself off from everybody. You can watch the game and cheer, but you don't have to deal with the so-called regular fans. I admire the fact that they sit amongst the fans when they have a choice, and they've decided, we'd rather sit and be kind of amongst everybody as opposed to kind of squired away a little
bit. Yeah, and we'll give some credit for being half Canadian, JR. It just speaks to, and it's not, but, hey, you do grow up extremely wealthy. You grew up in St. Louis or wherever else. Not always does the work ethic and all the traditional family values, and that, it's not a money thing, but I'm just so impressed by them. And for Keith, and I don't know if he ever played Calgary in the playoffs, but it would seem like not too long ago, he was going in with the Winnipeg Jets and understanding and respecting that. And so, no, I agree. And when you're in a suite and you want to enjoy it, you want to be kind of amongst the people. And for Brady, what's also interesting, JR, because if they were playing, Calgary's playing, it's a home game, so it's different. But say they're playing down in the United States, him walking around in the stands, not that the fan of the game wouldn't recognize him, but you also understand you're in Canada. Everybody in Canada recognizes players. They know exactly who Brady Tkachuk is, and he's handled himself properly. And that's exactly what, from the day he got drafted, we interviewed him, he has come across as just incredibly sincere and genuine. And none of this appears to be forced, nor is he making an ass of himself. Like, he's not doing anything that other than just looking like a guy that loves the sport and loves his brother. That's all it is.
He has said, by the way, that at least for now, he'll be at tonight's game, and then he's going home to St. Louis.
Yeah.
So now if Calgary continues to win,
Or
as Keith said, because Keith is hanging in. And that the reason he didn't throw his hat, apparently, is because that hat is 3-0 when he wears it to games.
And that's pretty cool. And also, JR, I'll say, as we wake up this morning, and I didn't feel this way yesterday, I don't think we're going to rule out that Calgary and St. Louis are going to play in the next round.
Well, it's absolutely a possibility for sure. Which,
like, I didn't feel that way
yesterday.
Much easier
on the pocketbook because they'd be living at home for at least half of the home games for sure.
Yeah.
Keith, I think is all in on as many. He'll be at as many games as possible. But Brady's going home after the game tonight.
Put in a good shift, as we like to say.
He has. Speaking of the game tonight, 10:30 face-off, Edmonton and Calgary. Of course, Flames won game one. Mike Smith will start in goal for game two for Edmonton. Here's Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft on expectations for this game.
To me, I want us emotionally, physically, and mentally ready to take your first shift. And that's, for us, we talk about that a lot, is putting our focus on our details, the things that are within our control. I think when you do that, You put your focus on your next shift, your the next battle, the next puck. You know, that's on us. And as I said, it's on everybody. It's not to a man. Our group was not good enough last night to start the game.
So from the physical point of view, one thing we didn't discuss yesterday when we were talking, because, you know, the 15 goals overwhelms you from a storyline, right? That became the story and how bad the goaltending was on both sides. One of the things we, at least we didn't talk about, was how physical the Flames were on Connor McDavid. Now, he still had a big night, still had a goal and 4 points, but they not only hit him, which is the, you know, that's from the, that's the standard playbook on what you try to do in the playoffs with the other team's best players, but they hit him hard. Yeah. Like they, at every opportunity, they were finishing Connor McDavid hard. And I think part of the issue that Woodcroft and a lot of people that watch Edmonton was, and some of the players said this yesterday, is we got to give a bigger physical response. And I'm not talking about starting brawls or whatever, but we got to be in there a lot more physically involved in this second game, because we let the Flames run Connor McDavid a lot in that game one.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you can't do much share. You got to turn around, be physical on Johnny Hockey, as you would expect on any skilled player. And at the end of the day, I love Connor McDavid to death. He's not the biggest guy in the world. Now, the war of attrition, and you played a seven-game series. Now you bounce into the next one. It becomes harder and harder for the matchups, for all the little things you're doing. And you know he'll stay at it, but you know that that really is the, a big part of what you're trying to accomplish. And you also understand that from a physical standpoint, I mean, I don't think there's really a great matchup from an Edmonton side. That's not really the way they're built unless Cassian or Nurse want to do it. You just have to go out and, you know, play the same way against their skilled players. I don't think there's anything that's going to stop Calgary. I mean, especially come playoff times when you don't have to drop the gloves with Lucic and Gabranson and Zadorov and a bunch of other guys. And, hey, they're just going to keep doing that.
The biggest surprise among all the stats from game one, from an Edmonton point of view, was that not that Connor McDavid led the Oilers in points in the game with 4 points. It was that he led the Oilers in hits. He had 5 hits in the game, which was more than any other player. And if that's what's happening, I mean, good on Connor McDavid for being physically involved in, as well. But that means, well, somebody else or several other players aren't doing as much as they should.
Well, and I'd also like if it's Connor McDavid, Jerry, if a guy's a bit on his heels. But the other thing you have to be careful of, even for as excited as you are, Connor McDavid, I don't need you going out of your way and finishing every hit. It doesn't exert as much energy.
I don't think he's doing that. I don't get the impression he's doing
that. I'm just saying, but as you go along, you know, every little bit of energy, you know, and you do appreciate that he is doing it. But like I say, I'm just interested to see how his size really holds up as we get into a second or possibly third round of the playoffs.
Well, I don't really find Connor. I don't think Connor McDavid is small, and I don't think he's light either. Like when he hits somebody, he hits them hard. Like he put a couple of LA Kings on their asses in that series. So he's got some he's not a huge person, but he's not small by any standards.
You see, I think he is. Like I look at him and I just say physically. Now I'd say the same thing about Kyle Turris and RNH are big guys. Now his speed, and he works hard, so I'm sure his lower half JR, but gosh, I never look at Connor McDavid and think he's, you know, even the way Jonathan Taves is built and strong to the ice. I just don't look at Connor McDavid that way personally.
Last night, Tampa scored late, really late, like super late, like 4 seconds left in the game late to beat Florida 2-1. So they've stolen both games in Florida, heading back home for games 3 and 4. Here's John Cooper on taking both the games on the road.
We're 2 games closer to where we want to be, but we're not there yet. I've told you this in the last series. I'm going to tell you again. Tonight was just one game. We're here to win a series.
90% of the time in NHL playoff history, when the team wins the first 2 games on the road, they go on to win the series. So. Yeah. 9 out of 10 times there's not, and I know, you know, most people had a lot of people had predicted Florida would win the series. I don't think anybody predicted, that Tampa was going to go in and steal the first 2 games. That's maybe the biggest surprise.
No, and they rebounded nicely in game 2, JR. They were more physical. They outplayed them, and they should have at least got it to overtime, but you didn't. And from a Florida perspective, hey, the young core is there. But, boy, they sure used a lot of assets. And, you know, I don't think they'll turn the page on the goaltending. But a curious question going forward with the Bob playing as well. Still doubt you can move him. Well, Spencer Knight's a great prospect, but he doesn't do much just sitting on the bench. So, you know, as Drew walks out, if possibly he does, you know, some of the other moves they've made in the short term, hey, they tried to win. Now, they haven't mortgaged the entire future, still a good young core. But this one will hurt from Florida. But I think deep in their mind, at least from a management perspective, I mean, there's all the feeling of you'll be back next year, right? Mm-hmm. But I also don't feel like you also felt like, hey, Bill Zito did everything. He went all in as much as you could this year without doing anything stupid to say, hey, this is our year. And I'm certainly we want to get past our rival Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah. Well, they gave up the first next year for Ben Chiarot,
yeah.
Right? And he then, you know, he's – and we're kind of already – we're already shoveling the dirt on the Florida Panthers.
Yeah,
it's 2-0, but
yeah.
He's free agent at the end of this year. Don't forget, Barkov's max monster deal kicks in next year, his new contract.
Okay,
so, you know, their salary cap situation is not going to be good going forward, and Claude Giroux as well. And it'll depend on you know what he want, you know, is he going for max dollars, is he going for championships? Nobody knows the answer to that, as to whether he might return to Florida, or as many Senator fans hope, maybe might look at potential of signing in Ottawa. Regardless, the Barkov contract extension kicking in next year is going to chew into a lot of what's available. They've already traded their first rounder this coming year for Sam Reinhart. Next year's first rounder is gone for Ben Chiarot. Nobody thinks that Florida is going to fall off the end of the table, but I think the moves that were made to win this year.
For sure.
Next year is still possible.
Yeah, yeah.
This year is kind of like their best chance.
And you always do an internal audit. And, you know, I go through it, and I don't look at any fault, and I just think Bill Zito's done a great job. I'm not a Reinhart guy, JR, and I know he's put up some points. But I would have said, well, come playoff time, and Nick Paul is just a rental. It's completely different. But that's the only one I'd look at and say, I wasn't a fan in Buffalo, and I just don't think when it really comes down to winning one-on-one battles that he's capable or really wants to do that.
This text comes in. All we heard when the Leafs were playing Tampa was that Tampa weren't as good as before. They were slow. Third line was no good. Goalie was off. And now all of a sudden when they're playing Florida, Tampa's great across the board. Is it Tampa or maybe were the Leafs a better opponent?
Yeah, Unsigned, you're absolutely right. And I was the one saying, and this does give you an appreciation. And I guess it could hurt a little bit more, JR, but I feel like the Leafs have been a far bigger threat, and I'll say even for Marner and Matthews more than Barkov and Huberdeau. I guess it does say exactly that, because I kind of thought, I'm not a big foot guy either, but he's a big body, and what they're doing, you know, and the way they're playing, and Kucherov elevating. No, I think it does show you that, hey, the Leafs obviously we knew is a good team, and it was a hell of a matchup, and I think, well, so far they pushed more than Florida has.
All right, so again, to our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for today. What is your priority as we head toward the long weekend? Is it the Stanley Cup playoffs? Is it the PGA Championship, second major of the year? Is it all the other stuff, the potpourri, the smorgasbord of everything from NBA playoffs, F1 race in Spain, Blue Jays, Premier League wrapping up on Sunday. Whatever that ambiguous cricket reference was that we still haven't been able to figure out. Local sports, million things going on. That's all wrapped up as one. Or just the long weekend. Keep your votes coming at TSN1200.ca.